listener production. Hi, I'm Sasha Barbagat. Welcome to The Briefing. Costs have been skyrocketing for everything lately, and most of us have been forced to cut back on the little luxuries in life, whether it's new clothes, monthly manicures, maybe a trip to the movies. But one thing we are finding it hard to part with is our local cafe. Anecdotally, at least, my nearby coffee spots are packed out for brunch over the weekends, and the multiple cafes near our studios have long lines every morning from 6. And data shows we are getting good at making budget trade-offs, that is, choosing which things we want to hold on to and which we can maybe forego. While it might feel like our daily cuppa has increased in costs, it turns out our coffee culture is actually too cheap. So, should we be paying more for our daily coffee habit? Joining me now to explain is Emma Felton, adjunct senior researcher at the University of South Australia, who has looked into the cost of Australia's cafe culture. Emma, thanks for joining me. How much is the price of coffee now? Let's say a cup at your average cafe.
So in Australia, we pay on average between $4.50 and just over $5, depending where you're located. You know, it varies from city to city. People in Melbourne probably pay a bit more than other cities. So, for example, in Melbourne, for a flat white, we're comparing flat whites, you could pay up over $5. The cheapest place for a cup of flat white is Hobart at just above $4.50. Brisbane and Sydney are sort of in the middle, around $4.70. So it varies a bit, but not a great deal.
Yeah, and I feel like at the moment with the cost of living crisis, it feels like the cost of everything is going up and up and up. Colloquially, I know for me, like a block of cheese is my measure. And I used to be able to buy my block of cheese for $7 and it's up around $11 now, which is such a noticeable difference. But I can't say I've noticed the same with my local cup of coffee. So why haven't we seen similar big jumps in prices with cups of coffee in recent years?
Yeah, that's a good question. Because comparatively, you know, to countries overseas, we're paying a lot more. I have spoken to a couple of cafe owners about this, and I think part of it is that we have a cafe, our cafe owners often have a close relationship with their clients, and you know, it's a day-to-day basis where people go into the coffee with their cafe, and they see the cafe owner and they get to know them a bit. So there's a reluctance there to put the prices up for that personal reason. But the other reason is, and it's not so much a reason about, you know, reluctance to put the price up, but it's why our coffee is kind of should be probably a bit higher than it is. And we use good quality Arabica beans for what's become known as specialty coffee. We're used to drinking specialty coffee. And these beans, Arabica beans, are very hard to grow. They're increasingly hard to get as well. But this is what we're used to drinking, and this is what's really a big factor in the price of coffee going up around the world, is the price of Arabica beans going up.
I find it hard to believe, though, that it's simply a case of nice cafe owners not wanting to overcharge us. Is it really just as simple as that?
I don't think so either. But I think a lot of it is to do with this sense that, you know, that Australia is a leader in specialty coffee. And, I mean, you know, obviously people are going to have to put up the price of coffee because everything else is going up. Cafe owners might be feeling sort of kindly towards their clients, but it's not really sustainable.
Yeah, so would you take from that then that we can expect prices to increase over the coming months, years when it comes to the food and the coffee we order at our cafes? Or is it in turn, is that why we're seeing a lot of cafes actually closing, is because rather than pass the price on to their customer, they've ended up forced to close the shop because they can't afford to run it anymore?
Where I live in Brisbane, I haven't seen any cafes close, but I have heard that there are cafes closing in other cities, and I imagine that would be a big part of it. Yeah, that certainly in terms of the rent and wages, which have gone up collectively by, you know, nearly 70% in the last few years. So that's a huge hit. I mean, someone also suggested to me yesterday, someone from Darwin said they've started to see a lot of coffee carts, you know, coffee vans, and they wondered whether these might replace some of the cafes, whether cafe owners would just, you know, give up the cafes and start up a coffee van. But then, of course, you've got to have somewhere to park the van and get permits, etc. And the other thing is actually some cafe owners are reducing the size of their cups, so they're charging the same, but the cups are smaller, so they're getting a bit more profit from the normal size cups that they were using before.
Mm. What kind of profit margins do cafe owners look at, you know, on an average basis? How much are they actually taking home at the end of the day after the till's shut?
There's been this really steep decline in the last 4 or 5 years. The average business profit margin, you know, across the board of all businesses is about 13.5%. But for a cafe, it's about 7.5%. So it's half of what, you know, most businesses are making, or just under half, just above half. And for an independent owner operating a cafe with an average turnover of 300,000, this would amount to 22,800 for an annual net profit after all the bills are paid. So it's not a lot.
No, it's, you know, is running a cafe or a hospitality business kind of one of those things that it's extremely hard to make genuinely profitable? Like, yes, if they're turning a profit, but $22,000 at the end of the year, that's their pay, right?
Well, actually, I imagine they, you know, hopefully in that figure of 300,000 turnover that they pay themselves out of that, and the 22,800 is the actual profit. I'm assuming that their wages are in that.
Mm. Look, how important is Australia's cafe culture to our identity, to tourism? What has it come to mean? Because I do think it's something that has really grown legs and started running over the last few years. How important is it?
I think it's really important. It's not home. It's not a workplace. It's a place in between. You know, I mean, how many times do you hear people say, oh, let's go and have a coffee and meet at the cafe? It's become this really important place. And I think especially in cities where you've got a lot of apartments and high-rise buildings, and people just want to get out and, you know, and have somewhere else to just go and chill out. And also since COVID, I think it's become even more important to have this kind of space outside the home. And so, yeah, I think they're critical places. And you can see overseas, in fact, as you said, Australian cafe culture is quite unique. And you can see, I've noticed in some countries in Europe that people promote Australian coffee and Australian baristas. You're seeing the development of this kind of cafe culture, even though you think Europe was the heart of cafe culture. It's not in the same way that we have had here, with really good quality coffee and kind of really nice environments as well, where people feel relaxed and comfortable for everybody to, you know, to hang out.
Mm. Look, before we let you go, let's say, and you mentioned overseas, I know in Switzerland, for example, it's about $10 to go and buy your average cup of coffee, which to us is crazy. But from what you've explained, is Australians probably should be paying closer to $10, you know, for the average cup. What would happen to that cafe culture if we ended up in a position where I'm going down for my daily cappuccino and I'm being asked to hand over $10, would it destroy that culture?
I think a huge hike from, say, $5, you know, 50 or $5 to $10 would have an impact. But I doubt very much whether cafe owners would put up, you know, coffee by that amount. What I think is, even if they do put coffee up by, say, you know, $1 or $2, I have the sense that people won't. They might begrudge it for a minute, you know, a while, but I don't think it'll stop people buying coffee. I think it's so much a part of Australians' everyday life and so much a part of our routines that I think people, you know, they'll just see, oh, it's a cost of living factor, I'll pay for it, you know. And I just find that hard to imagine that the you know, the customer's not going to buy coffee. And from what I've heard from cafe owners, the demand hasn't dropped off at all. You know, even after COVID, people are still going to cafes and, even if they're, you know, are asked to pay a little bit more, they'll pay it.
Mm-hmm. Well, Emma, it's an interesting conversation, and I think something that most people can relate to. Most people head down to their local cafe at least, I don't know, once a fortnight. I know I really enjoy my local cafe and the cafe culture that Australia has been come to know for, known for. Thank you so much for your time today and for sharing your insights.
Thanks, Sasha. Pleasure.
That was Emma Felton, Adjunct Senior Researcher at the University of South Australia. And that is all we have time for today. Before you go, though, I would love it if you could share this episode with someone you think might like it. And be sure to check out more of what we do on our socials pages. Instagram is at The Briefing Podcast. On TikTok and YouTube, search us at The Listener Newsroom. That's LISTNR. I'm Sasha Barbagat. See you next time.